It has occurred to me through the reading I've done, whether it's through school or on my own time, how much people seek out eternal life. I mean, their own way of staying young forever. It's in songs, poetry, stories, myths. One man even made a journey in search for the Fountain of Youth. I'm sure you've read about Ponce de Leon, who came in search for, it's interesting, when we were taught it in school, he was in search of the Fountain of Youth. Actually, his quest, he set out for a way of finding eternal life. He never, ever wanted to die. And he thought that this would be actually a very good weapon in some ways to have and give back to his homeland. We have movies, even for those of you that like the Jack Sparrow movies, the last Pirates of the Caribbean that came out, what did they search for? They were searching for the Fountain of Youth. Everyone's trying to stop getting older. People put cucumbers on their eyes. Now, I don't want to offend anyone here. If that's what you do, that's fine. But cucumbers, I'd rather eat them than stick them on my eyes. But people do that. There are facial rubs and masks and oil voulet. There are so many things we stick on our body to try to make us stay youthful and young. We eat better. Come on, let's face it. You know, kids in the back, the teenagers, how many of you are worried about what you're eating? I see what you stick down your mouth. You don't worry about it, but as you get older, you start to say, maybe I should start eating more fruit and vegetables. When I was young, Twinkies, I loved them. Do you realize there's nothing nutritional inside of a Twinkie? It's probably Twinkies and cockroaches are the only thing that would survive a nuclear holocaust. But they taste so good. We're constantly doing things to stop the aging process. Even laws are enacted. How can we live forever? You got to wear a seatbelt. You'll be fined if you don't. And you got to have this baby seat until next year when you have to have this baby seat, until the year after that when you have to have this baby seat. Everything just keeps going and going and going for how can I make myself safe? I am worried that in the next 25 years, we'll just be walking around in bubbles so that if we happen to fall over, we'll just bounce back up. I want to live forever. And yet, in today's proverb here, we have these beautiful little vignettes, this one written by Solomon, most of them in Proverbs written by Solomon, about what it really takes to live forever. It's so simple. That's the great thing about the Holy Scriptures, is it's so simple. A child can understand it, and yet even as an adult, I continue to find glorious golden nuggets in the Scriptures. What does it take to live forever? Guard your heart. That's how the proverb ends. Guard your heart. Let the love of Christ consume you. The proverb starts out, "Listen and accept what I have to say." This wise writer begins, "Listen and accept." It doesn't just say, "Listen." I worked for a company back in the 90s, and their motto was, it was a collection of basically all the things that could go wrong with something, and then ways of answering how to fix that. And their little tagline was, "Knowledge is power." I got some news for you. Knowledge is good, but unless you apply that knowledge, unless you have wisdom, it's kind of useless. Stephen Hawking has a brilliant mind. He has all the knowledge that any of us could just dream of having, and he does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that knowledge is kind of useless. He lacks the wisdom. So the proverb writer here, the wise Solomon, says, don't just listen to what I got to say, but accept it, understand it, live it. Listen, my son, accept what I have to say, and the years of your life will be many. I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. Well, what if we choose not to listen? What if we really want to go on our own direction? Well, the writer has something to say about that. He says, if you choose to go your own way and not follow the wisdom that I'm giving you, bad things will happen. Tom, in his reading, went through some of them. It leads to wickedness. It leads to, well, probably a lot of arrogance. It leads to thinking that we are our own gods. Solomon writes, these wicked people, cannot sleep until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep until they make someone else fall. I was going through the scriptures when I put the sermon together, and it's interesting how many times the scriptures point out that there really are only two paths. In this world today, we like to think that there's so much gray right in the middle. And the scriptures are pretty clear. There are sheep and there are goats. You're either on the side of the Lord or you are not. There's really not a lot of gray wiggle room. Jeremiah wrote, "The Lord searches the heart and examines the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve." Take your own path, make up your own rules, and there is one who will judge according to how we live our life. John wrote about Jesus, St. John. Jesus would not trust himself to the men, for he knew all men. He knows how we live our lives. Now you may think, I'm a pretty good person. Let me tell you, as a good Lutheran pastor, in our hearts, as human beings, our hearts want to lead us down paths that do wrong things. That's not just as we get older. That's even as we live our lives and we're young. The scriptures tell us that I was born in sin from the womb. You know, I was shocked yesterday. It changes my illustration for today, but I was shocked yesterday. I had to stop in at Foodland in New Brighton. And as I was walking, I parked the car, and as I was walking, there was this nice little sight. It was this girl, I would say she was probably fifth grade, maybe sixth. And she was pushing in a cart a young child that was seated, older than Aiden, but still a young child sitting in the cart. And there was a younger girl, probably, I don't know, 5 to 7 years old, running around, just as kids that age do. And I'm walking, and I'm like, well, isn't this something? You have this girl who's taking care of, I don't see anyone else around, taking care of her younger siblings with some milk and some bread in the cart. And the kid was just running around like a madman, climbing on things, climbing up the pop dispenser that's outside of Foodland. And as I walked right near, the girl lets out a get in the cart. Let's just say there were a few more adjectives thrown in. And I turned and said, watch your mouth. There's no need for that. And they stood there and looked at me. And I went into Foodland, went in shopping. So it threw me off kilter that kind of trash would come out of someone's mouth that young. That tiny. Well, I came out from my shopping spree, and no, I didn't buy Twinkies. I came out of my shopping spree, and I got in my vehicle, and someone had come and picked them up in a minivan and pulled out, and they were in front of me at the red light. And so as we went up the hill away from Foodland, the family decided to salute me as a family. And I thought, how horrible. I mean, I understand the way she acts. it's quite obvious. She just confirmed basically what was going through my mind. But how horrible that a child like this would behave in such a way. A family like this would behave in such a way as they went about their business, not thinking twice of it. That is what the heart desires. That, from the youngest, is what mankind wants to do, all from Adam's fall. But our psalmist, or our proverb writer, Solomon here, continues on, but there is a good thing. See, let the Spirit indwell in you. Solomon says, the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining even brighter till the full day of light. Paul continues on in Galatians. Let me just share with you what Paul has to say about the ways of the righteous. He says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The key word there is the fruit of the Spirit. It's the Spirit indwelling in our hearts. Because as we live the way we want to live, we're like that family. But the Spirit changes us. This is not how the Lord wants us to live. We are a new creation, created in the love of Jesus Christ. He died for us to change us. We don't want to be like that. We want to live in the light of day. Let me share with you one other thing that has come to mind. Just recently, I'm almost 50 years old, and it's taken this long for me to realize it. I take our puppy out, who is barely able to make it through the night. I take her out about 5:30. It's more like 6:30 now in the morning. And we have this trellis that goes up, and it's just full of these viney things. All day long you can look at them. They're just green, little, ugly, viney things that are just hanging on it. But you go out at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they're filled with these beautiful purple morning glories that are open. And I see why they call them morning glories now. And you look at that trellis, and it's so green and viney during the day, but in the morning, it is one of the most beautiful things in our yard. That is the dawn of a new thing. That's what our body should almost feel like, being in the love of Jesus Christ, the opening up and the love and the beauty of a morning glory like that. I guess I just don't like getting up out of bed that early. It's okay. We want to change. We want to become a beautiful thing like that morning glory. And we do that only in one way, through the Spirit entering our heart. And that's what I'm opening up to you today. This is what it means to accept. To accept the wisdom that Solomon writes. Let the Spirit take over. Let the Spirit enter your heart. Live with the love of Jesus Christ every day. I begged for God's mercy upon that family. Because there's nothing I can do and there's nothing I can say to make them change the way they act. To make them change the way they think. Their hearts are overtaken. But there is one who can change them. Can change the hardest of men. And that is the Spirit. So when you're praying this week, I ask you to pray for that family. May the Holy Spirit break their hearts of stone. May they see the error in their ways, and may God have mercy upon them, because He has had mercy upon each and every one of us sitting here right now, and His mercy is in abundance. So keep your heart pure and clean. I've said it before, I'll say it again. When it comes to God and His love for us, it's all a heart thing. It's not what we do. It's not what we say. It's really about a clean heart. And the only one that can wash us pure is Jesus Christ in the love of His Spirit. Amen.